When I was in my early 20s and trying to decide what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, I tried several different jobs, as many of you probably have. For about a year, I worked in a Pick and Save in my hometown in Palatka. Most of you probably know what that is, but for those of you who don't, it was like a Walmart or a Kmart, but smaller, not quite as big, and it was only a regional store, not a national chain like Walmart and Kmart are. Nevertheless, I worked there for a year. And anyway, it was my job to stock the shelves and whatever else they wanted me to do. You know, I always loved that on a contract, when you sign it, and they say, come in and sign this, you're going to work for us, and it says you're going to do this, and whatever else we want to tell you to do. Yeah, I just love that part, because I know that means I'm going to be in trouble. As I would work during the day, stocking and straightening the shelves and watching the customers, I noticed that they all did the same thing. As they were rolling along with their buggies down the aisles, gazing at all the shelves of all the wonderful products, they would stop every so often and pick one up and look at it. Turn it over maybe, or find the price sticker and check out how much it is. And then they'd either put it in their buggy and go on, or put it back on the shelf. It was the same thing all day long. Whether it was a can of cat food for $1 or a color television for $200. Now, they didn't always pick the TV up, but they always checked it out, turned it on, you know, that kind of thing. Made sure it worked. But it was the same thing all day long. Always checking the price, always checking it out. The first thing that shoppers wanted to know was how much it was going to cost them. And I have to admit that I also check prices when I go shopping and then sweat it out at the checkout line. Am I going to have enough money in my checking account to cover this, to get out the door? You know. Well, today, our scripture is talking about the price tag on being a disciple of Christ. Here Christ is saying to his followers, then and now, before you go any further, stop and take a look at what it will cost you to follow me. You see, Christ knows that the reason we decided to follow him is because, and the reason we're here today, is because as we were rolling through the aisles of life, we saw something that caught our eye about Christianity. Something caught our eye as we rolled past Buddhism for $1.98 and Muslims buy one, get one free, and atheism, 50 cents. You know, all these different religions are out there. And we've seen them. We've heard about them. But something caught our eye about Christianity. So we stopped. We saw Christianity and we liked the packaging. And we decided to stop and take a look. And as we were picking it up for a closer look, Jesus says, hold on there a minute. You better check the price before you fill your buggy with it. Because it's going to cost you the most. Christianity has the biggest price tag. And Jesus wants you to be aware of the cost. Now, I know you're thinking, preacher, how much is it going to cost me to continue to follow Jesus? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that. Let's look at the price tag in two parts. First, we have verse 26, which is without a doubt one of the hard sayings of the New Testament. And it's difficult for us to understand, even more difficult to practice. It says, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciples. Now, many men read this and think it gives them license to hate their wives. And that doesn't work that way. And the point is, does this mean that Jesus wants us to hate our families? Is that what he's saying? It kind of sounds that way, doesn't it? But that's not it at all. You see, you got to look at the word hate. It goes back to a root Aramaic word, meaning to love less. Ah, there's the key. Jesus doesn't want us to hate our family, hate our wives, hate our children. He wants us to love him more and them less than him. Or in other words, we are to love less our family when the claims of home come into conflict with the claims of Jesus. Jesus demands a primary and undivided allegiance. Again, Jesus is not saying that he despises natural ties. On the contrary, Jesus blessed the little children. He taught us to call God by the name Father and gave his own mother at his death to a beloved disciple. Jesus is saying that to become one of his disciples, you cannot let ties to family and friends stop you from doing what you know God is calling you to do, like come to church. Example of this, because it's a little confusing what we're saying here. I understand that. I have a friend in Kentucky that's a pastor in the Methodist Church up there. And about 10 years ago, when he felt the call to go into ministry and went home and told his wife, she said, "No way. I didn't sign up to be a preacher's wife, and I'm not going to do it. And if you go be a preacher, I'm leaving you." Well, yes, you did. Now, a lot of folks would say, "Well, gosh, God doesn't want me to destroy my marriage. I better just not do that." But he knew. You see, Kevin, my friend, knew that he had to follow Christ no matter what. Christ had to be first. So he kind of tells a funny story. He said he went back into his office, got on his knees and said, "Lord, just take her." You know, but that didn't work. He went ahead and followed Christ. He did what God was calling him to do, and they're still married today, and she has become that preacher's wife she didn't want to become. That's how God works. And that's what God is talking about. Be faithful to him, and he'll take care of the rest. He'll get your family in order and get them behind you in what you're called to do. Jesus must come first before anything. I think the price is getting kind of high. Well, let's look at the second half of the price tag. Verse 27 says, "Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Well, Pastor, what does Jesus mean about carrying the cross? Does he mean that all of us need to go out on Highway 90 and pull a cross behind us like we see some people do? If you're called to do that, maybe. That's not exactly what he's talking about here. It means daily identification with Christ in shame and suffering and surrender to God's will. It means death to self, to our own plans and ambitions, and a willingness to serve God as God directs. It means that the follower of Jesus Christ must crucify not only his low desires, but even his high desires when they clash with the demand of Christ. It means no matter what else you have going on in your life, if it is keeping you from doing what God is truly calling you to do, then you must let it go. In other words, we must be willing to put Christ before all else. We must not be ashamed to admit that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life. Now, I'm going to pick on the guys for a minute, because I am one, and I've been there. Prime example of what we're talking about here in verse 27. A buddy of yours calls you Saturday night and says, "Hey, I just bought a brand new bass boat. Man, it's got a 300 horsepower engine, all the bells and whistles. It'll do 90 miles an hour down the river with your hair on fire. I'm going to take it out in the morning and go fishing. Come go fishing with me. Come go for a boat ride with me." That's mighty tempting, especially if you like to fish, like I do. But what God is calling you to do at that point is say, "Gee, I really appreciate the invitation. I would love to spend some time on your boat, but tomorrow morning I must be in church. Thanks anyways. Maybe we can do it another time." It's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to give up those things that we sound so good and so much fun. That's what Christ is calling us to. That's called being a disciple. When we're able to stand up and say, "I can't, because the first commitment is to Christ." Now, many of us have run into that predicament, and we've kind of backed out of it under the covers. We've said, "Well, I'd like to go fishing tomorrow, but, you know, I think I'm coming down with the flu. I'm going to have to bow out." You know, you're too embarrassed to want to say, "No, I got to go to church." And Christ is saying, "Don't be embarrassed. You need to be connected with me. You need to show people that I'm the reason why you can't go fishing." Meaning Christ, not me. Don't get it wrong. That's what Christ is calling us to do. That's what being a disciple is. To put Him first before everything. Another wonderful example, Mike. You remember last Sunday, he came to church. And we were talking about announcements, and I said that adult Bible study was canceled last week because I had to be out of town with Janine. Remember Mike's testimony about that. He struggled with God because he had an opportunity to go and do some umpiring, which he loves to do, and make a little extra money, which he loves to make, all of us do. And but it was going to fall on that same night, and he had decided, no, I've made a commitment to Christ. It comes first. I'm going to Bible study. You know, as it worked out, he got to keep his commitment and still go and make extra money. That's called being a disciple of Christ, putting Christ first for everything else. So now we know how much it's going to cost us to follow Jesus and be His disciple. It's the highest price. We must be willing to put Christ before all others and all possessions and all desires. It's a high price. But what we get in return makes it the best deal in town. Willing to pay the price? Can you afford not to? Will you pray with me?